From Ballymoney in County Antrim, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you with us today as we spend 15 minutes around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need. And this is Leslie Curran saying hello and welcome in the Saviour's name to our gospel broadcast. It's good to have you join with us today, and I hope you'll be able to stay with us for the next 15 minutes as the Reverend Raymond McLernan lets the Bible speak.
Thank you for joining us once again. We bid you warmly welcome. Genesis 44:16 reads, "And Judah said, What shall we say unto my Lord? What shall we speak? Or how shall we clear ourselves? God hath found out the iniquity of thy servants. Behold, we are my Lord's servants, both we and he also, with whom the cup is found." I'm sure we're all familiar with the record of how Joseph was sold by his brothers into slavery. Mind you, what that must have done to his father, we can only imagine. Jacob had sent his favourite boy out on an errand, but he never returned. That father's life was shattered. It was enough to put Jacob in an early grave. Nevertheless, God brought good out of the evil. That family was eventually all reunited with the despised Joseph at the head of things. Only God could have turned things around the way they did. Anyway, by this stage, some 22 years had passed since that awful experience, and Joseph had now risen to second in command in the land. He was in a position of authority. Even Pharaoh had to acknowledge that since Joseph came about the place, the whole land of Egypt had prospered. Joseph's brethren dwelt in Canaan, and we're told that the famine was now in the land. So Jacob sent his sons down to Egypt to buy corn. These were Joseph's same brothers that had despised him and sold him off to slavery. But now they're the ones in great need. And in the providence of God, they are brought to the very feet of the one they had so long ago despised. Because of the famine, they were now brought right into the very presence of the one they had rejected, and it was here that they discovered their need was going to be met. What a picture of Christ this is. He is the one whom sinners have despised and rejected, yet he is the one who can meet the sinner at the point of his need. There are three things we want to notice here that I trust the Lord will use to speak to our hearts. First of all, their conscience accused them. We have to remember that by the time these men were coming to Egypt to look for corn, 22 years had passed since they last heard of Joseph. So by this stage, he had been more or less forgotten, except not altogether. You see, there's this strange mechanism that's built into each one of us that won't allow certain things to be forgotten. It's called conscience. It has been often described as God's deputy within man. When a sinner repents of his sin and receives the Lord Jesus Christ as his Saviour and Lord, God blots out every last transgression, and with them, he removes the feelings of guilt that can so torment a person's mind. When God forgives, he forgets. That's how the repentant sinner finds peace in his heart and mind. His conscience is clear before God on the grounds both of his repentance and of God's forgiveness. However, until that repentance is exercised and the sinner consciously determines to have done with his sin and comes to find God's peace, until that happens, he can never get away from the wrongs that he has committed. Why? Because of this thing called conscience. When Joseph was just a teenager, he dreamed that this famine would one day come. God revealed it to him. This young man was in touch with God, but that was something his brothers didn't understand. Anyway, when these brothers arrived in Egypt, they didn't recognize Joseph, for he was dressed just like all other Egyptians. But he knew them. And when it came to communicating with them, he spoke through an interpreter so they wouldn't be suspicious. Then he gave instruction to his steward to fill the brothers' sacks with corn, but to put their money back into the bags, and so he sent them on their way. Along the route home, they stopped to feed their horses. And that's when they discovered the money in their sacks. Then, when they came back again for more corn, Joseph repeated the exercise, but this time he told his steward to put his silver cup into Benjamin's sack and again sent them on their way. He then sent his steward after them to look for the cup, and when it was discovered, they couldn't figure out what was going on. Benjamin knew he was innocent as far as the taking of the cup was concerned. But it was Judah who said, "What shall we say unto my lord? Or how shall we clear ourselves? God hath found out the iniquity of thy servants." What iniquity? The selling of Joseph, the scheming to get rid of him, the lies they had told their father Jacob. But now after 22 years, their sin had caught up with them. Conscience smote them sore. Numbers 32:23 reads, "Behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure, your sin will find you out." Beloved, don't you have a conscience about your sin? Doesn't your conscience ever cause you to think how your sin is mounting up against you, that you have grieved the Lord by your continual rejection of Christ? By ignoring the voice of your conscience, you could volunteer yourself for hell. Oh, don't make that mistake. Notice secondly the challenge that awakened them. On the face of it, this looks like men coming to buy corn because of the threat of starvation back home. They needed the corn, but to accept a gift like this, well, maybe it just hurt the pride a little. But doesn't the same thing happen when it comes to salvation? If salvation could be bought with money, people would queue up to get it. They'd want to be able to say they had now acquired something in their own strength. And that's pride. Multitudes of people across this earth live hoping that they have done enough good to secure a place in heaven. But the Bible is very clear about this matter. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now here was a family of brothers who had lived with the secret sin. They had sold their own flesh and blood. They had deceived their own father and watched him suffer anguish of soul for years after that. When you think of it, surely when Jacob first mentioned going to Egypt to buy corn, don't you imagine the thought must have come into these men's minds? Egypt? That's where we sold Joseph to. Did they not begin to wonder what had ever become of Joseph? We can't help but think that their old sin must have come back at this stage to haunt them. Wouldn't the thoughts of Joseph be foremost in their minds as they made that journey? Yes, it was over 20 years earlier, but God was now bringing these brothers to face up to the wrong they had committed. The sin was still outstanding in God's record book. And maybe 20 years ago you did some wrong to somebody, but you've never sought the Lord's forgiveness. You've never repented of it, and it is still outstanding. Are you going to keep adding to the sin till you have to meet God one day with nowhere to hide? Beloved, if you're not hiding in Christ, you'll have to face the wrath of God. But will you hold on to your sin, knowing that this is what lies ahead for you? Notice lastly the comfort that awaited them. The central issue in all of this must be the fact that Joseph never stopped caring for his brothers, even though they had treated him with such contempt. He had no intention of doing them any harm. He spoke in rough tones, but only so that they might begin to feel the guilt of their sin, because only when they acknowledged their guilt could they find the way to reconciliation. That's exactly how God works. If a sinner isn't confronted with his sin, then he'll never see his need of the Savior. Here, these men came to realize the full extent of their sin against Joseph, and they came and fell at his feet. They recognized their sin against him and his love for them, and they came in repentance and found peace after all those years. Will you, beloved, not recognize God's love and compassion for you and come and trust him to forgive you your sins? You should come today. Thank God there is mercy with the Lord.
Oh, deep the Father's love for us, our vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son to us.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, coming from Ballymoney, County Antrim. We count it a privilege to bring the Gospel of Christ to you in all its biblical fullness, and I trust you've enjoyed today's programme. If you've been challenged, encouraged, or helped in any way, we'd like to hear from you. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT53 6PE. Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT53 6PE. Thank you for listening today. Don't forget that we're on air here each weekday morning, Monday to Friday. So do remember to join us at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.